Hi, and welcome to Show Tunes with Kate Botello from Interlochen Public Radio. Coming up, pre-war Broadway, love as a royal pain, and at intermission, we never will forget Jeanette MacDonald. Stick around for the finale, too, when we'll hear your pick from our bouquet of famous mama roses. Lights are dimming now in our virtual house, so please turn off your cell phones, unless you're using them to listen to the show, at which point, turn them up. Tonight's overture and finale are from Jules Stein and Stephen Sondheim's 1959 classic, Gypsy. The overture comes from our vinyl vault, so let's raise the curtain and drop the needle.
Thank you.
was the overture to Gypsy on the original vinyl from 1959. And now we'll jump forward to 1969 while jumping backward to 1776. This is the opening number from Sherman Edwards' musical about the signing of the Declaration of Independence, with the Second Continental Congress telling John Adams to quit bugging it about independence and sit down. After that, another independent Adams, in this case, Wednesday Adams, as she stretches her brother Pugsley on the rack, like you do when you're this kind of Adams, she contemplates being pulled between family tradition and her heart's desire in a number from the 2010 Adams Family musical.
By God, I have had this Congress. For 10 years, King George and his Parliament have gulled, cullied, and diddled these colonies, and still this Congress refuses to grant any of my proposals on independence, even so much as the courtesy of open debate. Good God, what in hell are they waiting for?
Sit down, John. Sit down, John. For God's sake, John. Sit down. Sit down, John. Sit down, John. For God's sake, John. Sit down.
Someone ought to open up a window.
It's 90 degrees. Have mercy, John, please. It's hot as hell in Philadelphia.
Someone ought to open up a window.
I say vote yes. Vote yes. Vote for independence.
Someone ought to open up a window.
I say vote yes.
Sit down, John.
Vote for independence.
Someone ought to open up a window.
Consider yourselves fortunate that you have John Adams to abuse, for no sane man would tolerate it.
John, you're a bore. We've heard this before. Now, for God's sake, John, sit down.
I say vote yes.
No.
Vote yes.
No.
Vote for independence.
Someone ought to open up a window.
I say vote yes.
Sit down, John.
Vote for independence.
Will someone shut that man?
Never! Never! Dear God!
I don't have a sunny disposition. I'm not known for being too amused. My demeanor's locked in one position. See my face, I'm enthused. Suddenly, however, I've been puzzled. Bunny rabbits make me want to cry. All my inhibitions have been muzzled, and I think I know why. I'm being pulled in a new direction, but I think I like it. I think I like it. I'm being pulled in a new direction. My painful pursuit, somehow birdies took root. All the things I detested, impossibly cute. God, what do I do? Mother always said be kind to strangers, but she doesn't know what they destroy. I can feel the clear and present dangers when she learns that the disgustingly true. Bold, bold, bold. Puppy dogs with droopy faces, unicorns with dancing mice, sunrise in wide open spaces, Disney World, I'll go there twice. Butterflies at picnic lunches, bunches of chrysanthemums, lollipops and pillow fights, and Christmas Eve, sugar plums, string quartets and Gia pets, and afternoon banana splits, angels watching as I sleep, and Liberace's greatest hits. should stay in the dark, not obey every spark. But the boy has a bite, better far than his bark. And you bet I'll bite you, you what's truly devil. As I'm golden and new, direction.
Krista Rodriguez as Wednesday Addams pulls herself in a new direction and her brother Pugsley, Adam Rigler, in all sorts of new directions in Pulled from Andrew Lippa's 2010 Addams Family musical. Before that, William Daniels as John Addams tried to pull the colonies into a new direction and failed. Well, he fails in this number. Spoiler alert, he eventually succeeds. Up next, three pieces from the earliest days of Broadway musicals, pre-World War I. Operetta was the thing on Broadway, but there were some definite precursors to what we think of as musical theater today. It was basically a progression from Gilbert and Sullivan to George M. Cohan and Victor Herbert until, bam, Jerome Kern changed everything. First up, Victor Herbert's biggest hit, Naughty Marietta from 1910. We'll hear the operetta's most enduring tune, made famous by Jeanette MacDonald and Nelson Eddy in the 1935 film.
For heaven's sake, what are you... Oh, run away, son. Richard, my boy, will you do me a favor? I'll be forced to put you up against the wall and blow and...
You can do anything you like, except cut off my ears. I'm saving them to hear something I never believed possible.
Yes, well, you can keep your ears, but will you please get your hat and go?
We've all vowed that we can't dance another step until we hear you sing, Your Highness.
I perish at the thought of being denied.
Oh, please, remember, Your Highness, you promised. Oh, have pity on us provincials, Your Highness. We so seldom have an opportunity to hear a thing like
this. Please,
please, Richard, please, I mean...
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, I will sing. I will. Rodolfo. Rodolfo, play. Play a song, my song.
Si, si, bella mia.
My heart has heard the answer to its calling.
course, that song is supposed to be about finding the love of your life, but in my house, we sang about everything from true love to a really good hot fudge sundae. Stay tuned for intermission, by the way. We have a great story about this song coming up in a bit. And now, enter Jerome Kern. A lot of shows came to New York from Europe, and it was custom there to never show up until after the first act. As a result, Act One was often really boring and needed zhuzhing up for American audiences who tended to show up on time. And in 1913, Jerome Kern and lyricist Herbert Reynolds were brought in to do some of that fix-it work on the first act of the British show, The Girl from Utah. They wrote a song that changed everything from that moment forward and is still popular to this day. Here's their enduring hit, They Didn't Believe Me.
Don't know how it happened quite. May have been the summer night. May have been. Well, who can say? Things just happen anyway. All I know is I said yes, hesitating more or less. And you kissed me where I stood, just like any fellow.
Catherine Grayson and Georgie Stoll sang the theater-changing They Didn't Believe Me. Lights are coming up in our virtual house, which means it's time for intermission, where you can sip some Naughty Marietta tea with one of the world's most wonderful storytellers, Miss Judy Garland. Now, if you've seen the Judy Garland TV show that aired on CBS from 1963 to 1964, you know she had her Born in a Trunk bit, where she'd dig through a trunk, pull out something that sparked a memory, tell a story, and sing a song. Now, in this particular episode, she pulled out a white Marie Antoinette wig and dished the dirt on Nelson Eddy, Jeanette MacDonald, and Louis B. Mayer.
This reminds me of Louis B. Mayer. This wasn't his. I don't mean that. It just reminds me of a story about Louis B. Mayer that You know, he was the head of MGM Studios, and he always wanted to create, and he had to handle all of the stockbrokers and all the boards of directors and so forth, and he was longing to just create something. And I used to have to go to his office all the time, once a day, to fight or something. Never got very far, but he used to relate this story to me. Each time I went to his, I was there for 16 years, and he would tell me about the time he went to visit the set of Naughty Marietta with a leading lady and a leading man who didn't like each other very much. They didn't like each other at all, but they had to sing with each other. Now, singing leading ladies and leading men is something else, because you have to sing that close, and nobody looks too attractive. You can see your occlusion rather than that. Louis Mayer came on that set of Naughty Marietta, and the leading lady, who wore this wig, not Louis Mayer, was supposed to be singing Ah, Sweet Mystery of Life, leaving Nelsonetti, you know who it is. And she was, Jeanette was climbing a flight of steps, and she couldn't have cared less about leaving Nelson. And it was the end of the picture. She was supposed to be heartbroken, and she just walked up the steps and sang, Ah, Sweet Mystery of Life. And I said, oh, I know, at last. Oh. Now, Louis Mayer came in with a lot of stockbrokers and things, and he saw his moment to add artistry. So he whipped off her wig and put it on himself and climbed up the stairs and said, you're not doing it. Let me tell you, little lady, how to do it. And he climbed up the whole and sang Ah, Sweet Mystery of Life and cried. Steel tears. He was so proud that he had contributed to that, that whenever I'd go to his office to say, now, wait a minute, Mr. Mayer, you can't let me do four pictures at once, you know, in the wrong car. He said, did I ever tell you about the time I went to visit a set of Naughty Marietta? And he'd get up from behind this enormous desk and walk up an imaginary flight of stairs and sing all 32 bars of Ah, Sweet Mystery of Life. And he would do it every time. And I let him go through 32 bars, and I'd always say, marvelous, Mr. Mayer. Gee, and I have no character at all. See, I never said, I heard it before, Louis. Anyway, that's what reminded me.
Now, this was not all Judy had to say about Jeanette MacDonald. That story led to Judy's roaring rendition of San Francisco, which was originally sung by Jeanette MacDonald no fewer than six times in the 1936 movie musical. Here's a little snippet of Jeanette. And now, here's Judy live at Carnegie Hall.
I never will forget Jeanette MacDonald. Just to think of her, it gives my heart a pang. I never will forget how that brave Jeanette just stood there in the ruins and sang, and sang. San Francisco, open your golden gate. You'll let nobody wait outside your door. San Francisco, here is your wandering one, saying I wonder no more. Other places only make me love you best. Tell me you're the one in all the golden west. San Francisco, I'm coming home again, never to roam again. San Francisco, right for Bridge, London Bridge, and the Bridge of San Luis Rey. But the only bridge that's a real gone bridge is a bridge.
Now, Judy liked to say that Jeanette never spoke to her again after she sang that song, but Jeanette said she really didn't mind being teased so long as it came from Judy. Lights are flickering now in our virtual lobby, so let's say thank you, Judy, thank you, Jeanette, and get back to the house for Act Two. We'll kick off the act with two of the biggest selling shows on Broadway right now, Hamilton, about Alexander Hamilton, and The Book of Mormon, about a couple of young Mormon missionaries in Uganda. First, an Aaron Burr number that Lin-Manuel Miranda says is one of the best he ever wrote, Wait for It. After that, Andrew Rannells' Elder Price affirms his faith with I Believe.
Theodosia writes me a letter every day. I'm keeping her bed warm while her husband is away. He's on the British side in Georgia. He's trying to keep the colonies in line. Well, he can keep all of Georgia. Theodosia, she's mine. Love doesn't discriminate between the sinners and the saints. It takes and it takes and it takes, and we keep loving anyway. We laugh and we cry and we break and we make. If there's a reason I'm by her side, and so many have tried, then I'm willing to wait for it. I'm willing to wait for it.
Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it.
My grandfather was a fire and brimstone preacher.
Preacher, preacher, preacher.
But there are things that the homilies and hymns won't teach her.
Teacher, teacher, teacher.
My mother was a genius.
Genius.
My father commanded respect.
Respect.
When they died, they left no instructions, just a legacy to protect. Death doesn't discriminate between the sinners and the saints. It takes and it takes and it takes, and we keep living anyway. We rise and we fall and we break and we make our mistakes. And if there's a reason I'm still alive when everyone who loves me has died, I'm willing to wait for it.
Wait for it.
I'm willing to wait for it. Like in his shoes, Hamilton doesn't hesitate. He exhibits no restraint. Takes and he takes and he takes, and he keeps winning anyway. Changes the game, plays and he raises the stakes. And if there's a reason he seems to thrive and so few survive, then damn it, I'm willing to wait for it. I'm willing to wait for it. Life doesn't discriminate between the sinners and the saints. It takes and it takes and it takes.
Wait for it.
Ever since I was a child, I tried to be the best. So what happened? My family and friends all said I was blessed. So what happened? It was supposed to be all so exciting to be teaching of Christ across the sea. But I allowed my faith to be shaken. Oh, what's the matter with me? I've always longed to help the needy, to do the things I never dared. This was the time for me to step up. So then why was I so scared? A warlord who shoots people in the face. What's so scary about that? I must trust that my Lord is mightier and always has my back. Now I must be completely devout. I can't have even one shred of doubt. I believe that the Lord God created the universe. I believe that he sent his only son to die for my sins. And I believe that ancient Jews built boats and sailed to America. I am a Mormon, and a Mormon just believes. You cannot just believe partway. You have to believe in it all. My problem was doubting the Lord's will instead of standing tall. I can't allow myself to have any doubt. It's time to set my worries free. Time to show the world what Elder Price is about and share the power inside of me. I believe that God has a plan for all of us. I believe that plan involves me getting my own planet. And I believe that the current president of the church, Thomas Monson, speaks directly to God. I am a Mormon. Dang it! A Mormon just believes. This is the moment I was born to do, and I feel so incredible to be sharing my faith with you. The scriptures say that if you ask in faith, if you ask God himself, you'll know. But you must ask him without any doubt and let your spirit grow.
Let your spirit grow.
You'll know it's all true, you'll just feel it. You'll be a Mormon. By gosh, a Mormon.
Andrew Rannells was nominated for the 2011 Best Actor Tony for his role as Elder Price in Robert Lopez, Matt Stone, and Trey Parker's The Book of Mormon. We'll have to wait to see what the nomination committee says about Leslie Odom Jr., but let's just say his odds are looking pretty good. Speaking of pretty, that is one of the main requirements for a fairy tale prince or princess. You'd think it would be easy to find love when one is royalty. All you gotta do is be lovely and charming and on the short list for kingdom inheritance, and you live happily ever after, right? Well, not so much for these royal kids, at least insofar as the plots of Camelot, Into the Woods, and Once Upon a Mattress are concerned. We'll open our vinyl chest for these three treasures from Princess Guinevere, Rapunzel and Cinderella's Princes, and Princess Winifred.
Saint Genevieve, Saint Genevieve, it's Guinevere, remember me. Saint Genevieve, Saint Genevieve, I'm over here beneath this tree. You know how faithful and devout I am. You must admit I've always been a lamb. But Genevieve, Saint Genevieve, I won't obey you anymore. You've gone a bit too far. I won't be bid and bargained for like beads at a bazaar. Saint Genevieve, I've run away, eluded them and fled. And from now on I intend to pray to someone else instead. Oh, Genevieve, Saint Genevieve, where were you when my youth was sold? Dear Genevieve, sweet Genevieve, shan't I be young before I'm old? Where are the simple joys of maidenhood? Where are all those adoring, daring boys? Where's the knight pining so for me? He leaps to death in woe for me. Oh, where are a maiden's simple joys? Shan't I have the normal life a maiden should? Shall I never be rescued in the wood? Shall two knights never tilt for me and let their blood be spilt for me? Oh, where are the simple joys of maidenhood? Shall I not be on a pedestal, worshipped and competed for? Not be carried off, or better still, cause a little joys of maidenhood? Are these sweet, gentle pleasures gone for good? Shall a feud not begin for me? Shall kith not kill their kin for me? Oh, where are the trivial joys, harmless, convivial joys? Where are the simple joys of maidenhood?
Disdain, why does she run from me? If I should lose her, how shall I regain the heart she has won from me? Agony beyond power of speech, when the one thing you want is the only thing out of your reach. High in her tower, she sits by the hour, maintaining her hair. Blithe and becoming, and frequently humming a light-hearted air. Ah, agony, far more painful than yours, when you know she would go with you if there only were doors. Agony, all the torture they teach. What's as intriguing or half so fatiguing as what's out of reach? Am I not sensitive, clever, well-mannered, considerate, passionate, charming, as kind as I'm handsome and
heir to a throne.
You are everything maidens could wish for.
And why no?
Why no?
The girl must be mad.
You know nothing of madness till you're climbing her hair, and you see her up there as you're nearing her, all the while hearing her ah. Steps behind,
always 10 feet below,
and she's just out of reach.
Agony
that can cut like a knife. I must have her to love.
And so young Prince Valdair, after having slain the dragon Fafnir, rescued the princess Grigga, and together they mounted his horse Trigga, and rode off to the castle Vundabar, where they were married and lived happily ever after. Well, I'm glad. They all lived happily, happily, happily ever after. The couple is happily leaving the chapel eternally tied. As the curtain descends, there is nothing but loving and laughter. When the fairy tale ends, the heroine's always a bride. Ella, the girl of the cinders, did the washing, the walls, and the winders. But she landed a prince who was brawny and blue-eyed and blonde. Godmother. I have a mother, a plain, ordinary woman. Snow White was so pretty, they tell us, that the queen was insulted and jealous when the mirror declared that Snow White was the fairest of all. She was dumped on the border, but was saved by some men who adored her. Oh, I grant you, they were small, but there were 7 of them, practically a regiment. I'm alone in the night, by myself, not a dwarf, not an elf, not a goblin in sight. That girl had 7 determined little men working day and night just for her. Oh, sure, the queen gave her a poison apple. Even so, she lived happily, happily, happily ever after. A magical kiss counteracted the apple eventually. Though I know I'm not clever, I'll do what they tell me I have to. I want some happily ever after to happen to me. Rapunzel had platinum tresses that were double the length of her dresses. She was kept in a tower for years by a wicked old witch. Till one night in despair, down she scrambled by letting her hair down. That's what I call quite a switch. I wonder. No, that'll never do. I'll be finished before I begin. And besides, I don't want to get out. I want to get in. I want to live happily, happily, happily.
Happily out of a chapel eternally torn. For I know that I'll never live happily ever after. Till after I'm a bride.
Carol Burnett's Princess Winifred belted out Happily Ever After from Mary Rodgers and Marshall Bearer's 1959 Once Upon a Mattress. Before that, Rapunzel and Cinderella's princes, Chuck Wagner and Robert Westenberg, fought about who had it worse in Stephen Sondheim's 1987 Into the Woods, and Julie Andrews' reluctant bride, Guinevere, appealed to her patron saint about having to miss out on the simple joys of maidenhood, you know, like starting wars and stuff. That was from Lerner and Lowe's Camelot, which premiered on Broadway in 1960. Even in musical theater, heavy is the head that wears the crown. Speaking of crowns, it's time now to announce the results of the poll from our previous episode. Now, we asked you to choose your favorite from a bouquet of a half dozen famous mama roses. And such roses we offered: Ethel Merman, Angela Lansbury, Tyne Daly, Betty Buckley, Bernadette Peters, Patti LuPone. And by the way, a note for those of you who asked why Bette Midler wasn't one of your choices. Now, Bette Midler was a glorious rose for the 1993 TV movie of Gypsy, and yes, she sang the songs live on the soundstage, but we decided to stick with mamas who performed for live audiences. So, whose turn is it to sing Rose's Turn? It was a close vote, but you went for the first ever Mama Rose, Ethel Merman. From our original vinyl recording, here she is, boys, here she is, world, here's Ethel.
Here she is, boys, here she is, world, here's Rose. Curtain up, light the light, play it, boys. You either got it or you ain't. Get?
Yeah.
Well, I got it. Some people got it and make it pay. Some people can't even give it away. This people's got it and this people's spreading it around. You either have it or you've had it. Hello, everybody. My name's Rose. What's yours? How do you like them egg rolls, Mr. Goldstone? Hold your hats and hallelujah. Mama's gonna show it to you. Love, and what does it get you? What does it get you? One quick look as each of them leaves you. All your life, and what does it get you? Thanks a lot, out with the garbage. They take vows and you're batting zero. I had a dream. I dreamed it for you, June. It wasn't for me, Herbie. And if it wasn't for me, then where would you be, Miss Gypsy Rose Lee? Well, someone tell me, when is it my turn?
for me.
Your choice for your favorite Mama Rose, Ethel Merman, gave us the ultimate angry stage mama screed, Rose's Turn. Now that number is so huge, it served as both the 11 o'clock number and the finale to Jules Stein and Stephen Sondheim's 1959 portrait of exotic dancer Gypsy Rose Lee. The curtain falls, the crowd goes wild, the lights come up, and that brings us to the end of this episode of Show Tunes with Kate Botello. That's me. Michael Culler engineered the show. Sally Isley is our executive producer. This is Interlochen Public Radio. See you in the aisles.
Boston or Baltimore, a chance for stage folks to say hello. Another opening of another show, another job that you hope at last will make your future forget your past. Another pain where the ulcers grow, another opening of another show. 4 weeks you rehearse and rehearse, 3 weeks and it couldn't be worse. 1 week, will it ever be right? Then out of the hat is that big first night. The overture is about to start. You cross your fingers and hold your heart. It's curtain time and away we go. Another opening of another show.
Another opening, another show. In Philly, Boston, or Baltimore. A chance for stage folks to say hello. Another opening of another show. Another job that you hope that lasts. We'll make your future, forget your past. Another pain where the ulcers grow. Another opening of another show. 4 weeks you'll rehearse and rehearse. 3 weeks and it couldn't be worse. But it will never be right. Then out of the heart is that big first night.
The overture is about to start. You cross your fingers.